Good morning. Welcome to Christ Central Presbyterian this morning. I'm Brian Tonis, one of the ruling elders. My privilege to welcome you to our church. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there is a connection card in the chair in front of you, and I would ask you to fill that out with your contact information. A little bit later when the offering plate is passed, you could just drop that into the plate. We'd just like to have a record of your attendance with us. Let me tell you, if you didn't already know, that Pastor Keene and Diane are away this morning. That's because he was at General Assembly this past week, and it was a good, relatively peaceful assembly. The Lord did a lot of good things there, but John is enjoying the stay off before he comes back next week. So we have a guest preacher with us this morning, John Montani, who's a teaching elder in our presbytery, and we're happy to have him bring the word this morning. You can read a little bit about him in the bulletin. And let me go ahead and make a few other announcements. Today is the fifth Sunday of June, and as is our practice, we take up a special collection for the Deacons Fund on the fifth Sunday. This is in addition to your regular offering. There were some envelopes on the table as you walked in here, so if you feel led to give to that, you can grab one of those and designate that specific offering for the Deacons Fund. I'd also remind you, next Sunday is our fellowship breakfast during Sunday school, so we will not have Sunday school class next Sunday. Instead, we will be having the fellowship breakfast in the fellowship hall. But I say that to you because we do need to know how many are coming. So if you have not given us your RSVP, today is the deadline. Please mark the connection card so Lisa knows how much food to have, how many tables to set up, and so forth. And also next Sunday at 5:30 p.m. will be our next congregational prayer meeting. So if you're here and available, I would encourage you to come to that as we seek the Lord's faith together as a congregation. So with that, if you have your cell phone or any other device that makes noise, I would ask that you please silence it at this time so that we can focus our worship on our triune God. Please stand with me now for the call to worship. It is from Psalm 66. It is responsive. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name. Please join me now as we sing hymn number 457, Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Father, as we gather here this morning, Our voices joined with the saints and the angels in heaven, we proclaim like the psalmist, how awesome are your deeds. But unlike the angels, we also praise you, Father, because you have not left us dead in our trespasses and sins. But even while we were still sinners, you sent your only begotten Son to die on a Roman cross so that we might not perish, but be redeemed to dwell with you eternally. Father, we praise you because salvation and glory and power belong to our God. And may we feel your presence among us as we worship our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. May you find our worship acceptable in your sight as we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. And may your spirit breathe life into the hearts of anyone here among us who does not yet know you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The first scripture lesson is from Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 12. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he hath set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me now in a time of confession. Father, as the scriptures declare, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Yet, Father, we confess that we don't always walk according to your statutes. We often treat your commandments as suggestions. We do what's right in our own eyes, and we don't seek you with our whole heart. But, Father, your word convicts us, and it leaves us without excuse. And nevertheless, we rejoice that you love us, that you're kind and merciful, and that the blood of Christ covers every sin we have ever committed or will commit. Father, we rejoice that you hear our prayers, especially when we confess to you our sinfulness and need of your grace. So, Father, hear us now as we confess to you silently. And Now, Father, through the intercessions of our Lord Jesus Christ, hear us as we confess to you together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Well, here are the assurance of pardon from Titus 3:3 through 5. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The second scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me now in a time of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, knowing that you hear our prayers. And when we ask anything in Jesus' name, if we ask in your, according to your will, that you will do it. And Father, we pray now for our world. We pray for leaders of all the different nations. We pray especially, Father, for the war that continues in Gaza and Ukraine. We pray that you would bring a just end to these conflicts. We pray for an end to the civil war in Sudan, that you would stop the killing that continues in this place. We pray, Father, for this ceasefire between Israel and Iran. We pray that it would hold, that there would be no more hostilities, that you would bring peace to this entire region. And of course, Father, we pray for Haiti. We pray for the violence, the instability, and all the problems they're having with gangs running the country. We pray for those who are caught in this mess. We pray for those who are here in our country and will no longer be refugees and need to find a place to go, Father. We pray that you would provide for them. We pray, Father, for our nation. We pray for good governance with law and order across our land. We pray for President Trump. We pray for our Congress and the courts. We pray for Governor DeSantis, our legislature, and all of our local leaders. Father, we pray that you would give them wisdom to lead and to do things according to what you've revealed in Scripture. Father, we remember our brothers and sisters worldwide who face persecution, especially in places like Nigeria, in Palestine, India, Pakistan, and other places where believers are being attacked and killed for your name's sake, Father. We pray that you would give them strength to fight the good fight, to be faithful unto death. And we pray, Father, that you would deliver them from their circumstances. We pray, Father, for the PCA. We thank you for this week's General Assembly, that it was peaceful and that many good things occurred, men acting godly and seeking your will for our denomination. We pray for your guidance in finding a new stated clerk and for the interim clerk, that you would guide him in his role. We pray, Father, for Southwest Florida Presbytery, and in particular the church planning efforts in Temple Terrace, Pasco County, and Bartow, Tampa Heights, Lake Wales, and Haines City. We pray, Father, for each of these church planners, that you would sustain them and that you would raise up men to serve as elders when these churches are ready to particularize. We pray that they would be a blessing to their communities wherever they happen to be. And Father, we pray for our church at Christ Central. We pray for Pastor Keene and Diane as they are away, that you'll give them traveling mercies, and may our pastor be refreshed for this day that he's away from the pulpit, and Strengthen him, Father. We pray for our elders and deacons and for the men that you're raising up to serve in the next class. And I pray also, Father, for their spouses who also have to sacrifice as their husbands are serving the church. I pray that you would sustain them. I pray for our staff and the many who volunteer in this ministry. And Father, we pray for next week's breakfast that we'll have a good turnout. It'll be a good time of fellowship, of believers getting together and getting and building relationships. We pray also for ESL when it starts up in the fall, that we would raise up the number of volunteers that we need and that the ministry would be successful. And Father, we pray for our Spanish ministries, for Luis Brieva, as he is trying to conclude his internship with the presbytery. Pray, Father, you'll help him to balance his work schedule and his home life. We pray for his ministry here as he's preaching the Spanish service even right now. And Lord, we pray for those in the Spanish group who are contemplating joining our church, that you would help them along and see the benefits of joining our ministry, that we may be one people united in faith. Father, I pray that you would revive our hearts, that you would give us a hunger and thirst for godliness and holiness, and especially a passion to share Christ with the lost, that we can be a blessing to our community. We pray, Father, for the sale of our property, that it would conclude successfully, that you would guide those steps. And Lord, we turn toward those who have various needs in our congregation. Remember Blake Williams and his extended family after the passing of his father. We pray, Father, that you would give them comfort as they grieve. We remember the Betancourt family. We pray for Catalina and the children. We also pray for Nick, that you would sustain them and help them in their time of need. And we also remember the family of Dana Rivera, Father. We pray for your grace and mercies on that family. For those in our church who are recovering from illness, Father, we remember Tara Pilecki. We pray that you'll continue to heal her from her recent near-death experience. We praise you for bringing her back and pray that you would help her to continue to recover and for her family as they attend to her needs. We pray for Jane Lambers as she continues to recover from her surgery and for Kim Ryer. We pray, Father, for those who struggle with ongoing conditions like Becky Yu, Judy Smith, Gail Ryer, Ed Sellers, Sheila Colbert, and her daughter Lenore Ball, who continues to recover from her accident. And we remember those confined for Ron Quick, Pat Barton, Eileen Colley. We pray, Father, that you would be with those people in their time of need and bring them comfort as they approach the end of their lives, Lord. And we remember those that we support in missions, for Don and Leah Vanderplug, for Dave and Paige Hawes. We remember Aldo Mondin at RUF as he prepares for another year of ministry. We lift up Rodney and Jana Davila and their MTW work in El Salvador. We pray, Father, for health and unity and for their marriages that are in the group. And lastly, we remember SIEATN and pray for him and his wife in their difficult situation trying to minister in Haiti while in the Dominican Republic. We pray, Father, you would sustain him and help him to find his strength in you. Lord, we bring all these petitions before you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The third scripture lesson is from Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 11. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Come now to our offertory hymn, Jesus, with thy church abide. The words are printed in your bulletin. Please stand. Father, we recognize that every good gift we have comes down to us from you, the Father of light. And we give you thanks for all that you've provided for us. We ask that you would make us ever faithful to excel in that next act of Christian grace by giving generously. As you pour out your Spirit upon us without measure, may we give back to you now in the same manner. Bless both the gift and the giver, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Please stand for the doxology. I am thankful to God for the privilege, the blessing to be with you today and to worship with you. May God bless us in the preaching and hearing of His precious word. Although we read those three scripture passages as background reading, the text of my sermon is found in Colossians chapter 1. And I will read only the verses that belong to our text, which are verses 25 through 29. Colossians 1, 25 through 29. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Let us pray. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou dost give to us Thy precious word. We ask that the lively preaching of Thy word will comfort our hearts and lead us in faith and repentance to embrace our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. May we hear Him through weak means, and yet those that Thou hast been pleased to adorn this day in this place. Bless Him who speaks, and we all who hear. We ask for the forgiveness of our sins, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Word of God in our text shows how the Gospel so gripped the heart of the Apostle Paul, in that he then would preach the gospel, he said, to every man. You notice that our text begins with whereof, because in the previous verse we have the body, the church, and he is referring the Apostle Paul to that body, the church, whereof he is made a minister according to the dispensation of God for you, which I fulfill. That is, not he himself, but that the word of God may be fulfilled and fully known. Clearly, the passages of scripture that were read direct us to the same attention that we must give this morning. That God is pleased in the New Testament to ordain elders, ministers, the church of Jesus Christ as a whole, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. And Paul would labor, striving to preach, he said, to warn every man, teach every man, present every man perfect in Christ. The text, as we see in parallel passages like Ephesians 3, which was read, described the gospel, also here, as a mystery. I think that word mystery is exhilarating, exciting.
The gospel itself a mystery, that which was hid in ages and generations past, that we should now be recipients of that mystery, that is a miracle and a gift that God has been pleased to give to us. And what is that mystery? What is that wonder that God is pleased to perform for us now in the new dispensation and unto all eternity? Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this morning, for a few moments, we want to consider what the idea of a mystery is in the first place. And we shall see that that mystery is none other than divine revelation. God has the prerogative both to hide and then to make known the gospel to whomsoever He will, by calling them out of darkness into His marvelous light. So that although the gospel must be preached, as Paul says, to every man, so that he will warn every man, so that he will be able to present every man in Jesus Christ, we understand that what he is saying is that it is both to the Jew and the Gentile. Both to those who he himself was addressing, as well as to the others in the churches that he will address in the other epistles. To every man, including the Colossians, to you and to me, Floridians, the mystery of the gospel is being and has been divinely revealed. But what does that mean, the mystery? And what exactly is that mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. We shall see then that this is to be proclaimed universally. Divine revelation, secondly, glorious manifestation, and then finally, universal proclamation. The gospel itself is a mystery, and so we want to take a few moments to try and understand, of course, the idea of a mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery in the scriptures means at least three things. First of all, that mystery, as the text speaks of, has been hidden in times past. And then now has been made manifest. So that the idea of mystery is something has been kept a secret. Something has been kept veiled. And then the time has come when that veil has been removed. And so now we understand fully and more clearly what had already been spoken of in the past but was not fully known, which then brings us to the second idea of a mystery, in that what God is pleased to do is to reveal that mystery, that gospel, progressively. We must be careful with that word progressive, because we do not mean by that that now in the New Testament, we can apply the scriptures in whatsoever way we want, and we can cut up the scriptures here and there. No, that's not what is meant. What is meant is that God is pleased over time to reveal His Word developmentally. That Word is revealed more and more clearly. It was hidden, made known, but now it's made known in a far more glorious way than ever before. That's why Paul speaks of the riches of the glory of this mystery. He's astounded, he's gripped, and he would speak of that. Finally, that mystery in the Bible means that God has the prerogative both to hide and to make known. Even now, God is pleased to reveal His Word to Jew and Gentile, but it is God who must open the hearts of His people and harden the hearts of the wicked who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. God is sovereign. That is the mystery that we must understand this morning. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 and following make this so abundantly clear. That which was hidden was a mystery. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man until the Spirit reveals it to men. For who has the mind of the Lord but the Spirit of Christ? And who can know the Spirit of God and understand the spiritual things of God unless he or she receives the Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth that God, Jesus Christ, has promised to give to us? Unless you have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in you, as we shall see Jesus Christ himself in you, you cannot and will not have this hope of glory. Would to God that all who are sitting here this morning and listening to the gospel will ask, what is this mystery? How can I know more about this mystery? What is so glorious and precious about this mystery that God is pleased to reveal it to the world? So that that question may be answered with, come unto me, ye too who are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. Keeping word upon word, you see, the Apostle Paul would bounce off and bring forth this glorious mystery when he speaks of it as the riches of the glory of the mystery of Christ. You know, this riches and these glorious things of the gospel were already spoken of course, in the parallel passage as well as here in Colossians 1. And I will quote you just a couple of verses. In verses 15 and following, Paul had mentioned that Jesus Christ, who now lives in us, is the image of the invisible God, and that by him and for him all things were created. That's right. We are speaking about the mystery of God himself when we speak of Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're speaking of him who in the beginning was the Word, who was with God, and who was God himself. What a glorious thing that we can come to church Lord's Day after Lord's Day and be able to understand who God is and what he does for us. Verses 19 and following, he has made peace with us through the blood of his cross so that we are now reconciled with God. Those are the riches of the glory of this mystery, that sinners like you and like me should be reconciled to the Almighty God. And that is why we beseech all men and we warn all men everywhere to come in repentance and faith and embrace this Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the text you notice says that God would make known these riches. There's an emphasis in the Greek there that he would make known. It is his will. It is the good pleasure of God to make known that which was hidden, to unveil this mystery today in this new dispensation, and yet to do so to his church, not to a particular denomination, but to his body, the invisible church that existed from the Old Testament all the way now to the New Testament, his people who often are a remnant. And you ask, how come? And you ask, what right does God have? And isn't he fair enough then to make this gospel known in such a way that all receive the Spirit and all can come to an understanding and believe? Well, I remind you that Jesus Christ himself, who said, come unto me, ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest, said and prayed before he gave this call, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, but hast revealed them unto babes. He thanks the Father for that wonder of the mystery, that God himself, who is sovereign, has the right, of course he does, in his mercy, he saves whomsoever he will. So it is not of him that willeth, or him that runneth, but of God, always of God who showeth mercy. What then, beloved, is this mystery exactly? We've tried to explain what a mystery is, a secret that is made manifest by God to whomsoever He will. And we have mentioned what this mystery exactly points to. The riches of the glory of this mystery, the text says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, not just for you, not just with you, not just your Savior by justification, in that He died on the cross and His righteousness is placed upon you and your sins were placed upon Him. All that, of course, objectively, outside of us, all the doctrines that we come to understand of the mystery of the Trinity of God, one in being, three in persons, or the doctrine we've referred to the sovereignty of God and yet to the responsibility of man. Many things remain a mystery to us that yet have to be clearly, fully made known, and we need to be patient, but we understand so much already. Be thankful for that. Gaze with me at this mystery of Christ in you. Christ Himself, the anointed prophet, priest, and king of His people, has been pleased to come by the anointing of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. That's a mystery. The Messiah, the one who is God Himself. So that in 1 Timothy 1 verse 3 we read, great is the mystery of godliness, that God Himself was manifest in the flesh. God dwelling in me? What a mystery. How can that be? Except that God Himself was pleased to condescend to be like unto us. So that though He has died and is ascended to Father's right hand, has been pleased to send forth His Spirit and dwell Himself with us and in us. Paul speaks of that in Galatians when he makes clear that it is Christ with whom He is crucified. And yet he says, though I died with Christ, yet I live. Yeah, it is not I that lives, but it is Christ that liveth in me. We die in Christ. We are crucified to our sins. But we are alive because the seed of life is placed in our hearts, and that seed is none other than Jesus Christ. All along, we've read about this Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, of course. We read Isaiah 42 this morning. He is the elect. Did you know that? Peter says that in 1 Peter 2:16. He is the elect. Christ, the chief cornerstone. God says, my servant, the elect, will come. I will come in my Son, the Christ, in whom I have elected my people, and I will come with judgment to the Gentiles. And I will come as light to the Gentiles. And the Jews will become as light to usher in the Gentiles like us to know God, to know all the secret things about God. Hebrews 1 verse 1 tells us that, right? God in sundry times and in diverse manners was pleased to reveal Himself to us. But now, by the express image of God, by His own Son, He has been pleased to make His face open. And in His face, though we do not see Him physically, in the face of Jesus Christ Himself, we see God. God. God has come to dwell in our hearts. How is that possible? At least for two reasons. One is because God is pleased to reveal, as He did at Pentecost, His Holy Spirit. Now, of course, His Spirit was present, Isaiah 60 and many, many passages in the Old Testament. But in the fullness of time, as we celebrate Pentecost, we know that God was pleased to usher in the New Testament where His Spirit fell upon His people. You are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. You. Because God is pleased to dwell in you, in your heart. And that's only possible by His Spirit. Praise God that He dwells in our hearts by His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's how you know Christ is in you, as the Holy Spirit dwells in you, sanctifying you, leading you more and more to understand the mystery of Christ, that statue that was unveiled, so that more and more you say, wow, what a wonder. Even though I may not fully understand it all, this mystery I receive by faith because Christ in me is graciously revealing these things to me. And ultimately and secondly, this is possible, beloved, that Christ is in us because of the covenant. The covenant of God, that God should come and dwell with us, so much so that He came as Emmanuel, but now the whole idea of the covenant becomes fully known. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will come dwell with you. How is that possible? In Revelation 21, behold, he heard the voice that from heaven came down, the bride of Christ, and God said, behold, I am with you now and forevermore. No more death, no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears, because of the covenant. God is pleased to make us His people. So go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Explain to them that the promise is unto you and to your children, as well as those to whom God is pleased to call from afar off, and do so without any shame. Because this mystery, Christ in you, is also the hope of your glory. It's not only for now. In fact, this mystery that has been revealed is yet to be made fully manifest. That's what hope is, right? If you can see fully what you have now, then what would you hope for? Paul asked. But hope is that which is in the future. It's not hope in the sense of, man, I hope it will be cooler today, or I hope to do this or that. That's a flimsy way we use hope. But hope in the scripture is a certain expectation. That is our hope. That's our faith. The hope of glory. We have that hope. As sure as you have Christ in you now and the earnest of the Holy Spirit in you now, so sure you can be of that hope of glory that is to come. At the judgment throne, when all men, every man, stand before God, then we, His people, instead of facing the wrath of God, will receive the crown, the glorious crown of righteousness, because it is promised to all those who fear Him and love His appearing. Do you fear Him? Do you love His appearing? Are you looking for that glorious day? It's because Christ is living in you now, and because you know that He's coming again, and you are desiring and praying and hoping, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. You see, that itself is a mystery. Christ revealed, but we don't know fully, and then we shall see Him face to face. Now Christ in you, but then more and more He will be revealed to us in heaven. And that is a mystery, people, of God, that He will reveal to whomsoever He will. Be humble about it. Be thankful for it. Rather than question God, acknowledge with the scriptures, oh, the riches of the glory of this mystery, that Christ lives in me, and He is the hope of my glory. And Paul says, and because it has gripped him so much, and because he's a servant of the church, and a servant of Christ, and a servant of the Word, he says, I will preach this to every man. I will warn every man. I will teach every man in all wisdom. And of course, Paul could not mean every in the sense of hate for hate, right? I mean, he lived at a certain period of time and in that dispensation, but he meant everyone that God is pleased to put upon his path, and everyone in every audience that God is pleased to place in his path. He will not make a distinction between Jew and Greek, young or old, male or female. He will not make a distinction between God's people in the United States or in other countries, as we today will have, and which our brothers so faithfully prayed for, lands of persecution, lands where they are in distress. We have this desire. You know, the PCA has as its founding mission to be reformed, remember, to be biblical, remember, and to be mission-minded. That's our roots. We must proclaim the gospel. We must go to every creature that God has placed on the pathway of our life. And we must reach out and not say, well, you know, they can come here. I'm so thankful to hear that you have a Spanish ministry, that you are reaching out also to those of other languages and other backgrounds. May God continue to give us that heart, the gospel so grip us that we want to and desire to make this known to every man. Here's the statue, beloved. Christ Jesus, our Lord himself. Come to dwell among us, and then remember at the ascension, with his open arms, ascending up and announcing by the Spirit that by the same manner he has gone, he will come. And he's sitting at the right hand of God. That's the mystery of Jesus Christ. His arms wide open. That this mystery may be revealed to all, to every man, all kinds of people, to you, to me. Let us uncompromisingly, unashamedly preach the whole counsel of God, but let us do so, as the text says, laboring, striving zealously, and knowing that this can only be done by the work which worketh in us mightily. That word mightily is a powerful word, and I'll end with that. You know what that word is originally? Dynamo. Which, of course, from which we get the word dynamite. It's not by our own strength, people of God. Don't be ashamed of sowing the seed of the truth of the Scriptures. It's the dynamite of God who itself and himself will give us the grace to do the work. May God bless us as we make known the mystery of Christ as he has made it known even to us. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee that thou art pleased to reveal that mystery also to us. What a privilege. And we are mindful that this is all of thy grace. And we pray, give us thankful hearts that we may continue to worship thee now and all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand now for our closing hymn. Number 468, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place.
I read these words, which form the benediction for our service this morning, one piece of homework. There are over 20 times that the Apostle Paul refers to the gospel as a mystery. Search it for yourself. Also here in this benediction, Romans chapter 16, 25-27. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.